pardon me. We've been looking at this passage in 2 Peter because in Romans, going through verse by verse, we came to verse 15, and it talked about Christians not being under the spirit of bondage. And we're not under bondage to the law anymore. We're not under the rule of sin, the dominion of sin. We're not slaves to sin anymore. And what we did was we stopped and we came over here and looked at 2 Peter. And we've been looking at what it looks like for people to be under bondage. And we're looking specifically at these false prophets. These false prophets, these false teachers, Second Peter here talks about characteristics of them and how God will deal with them and all of that. But there is a verse that we'll look at this morning that really all of this has been leading to. And it has to do with liberty and bondage. And then we're going to talk about the liberty that we have. And then this evening we will return to the book of Romans. And I have a couple of sermons, tonight's sermon, and then next Sunday morning sermon, Lord willing. If I get through everything tonight, then if not, we'll finish that up next week. But the next couple of sermons that I want to preach out of the book of Romans deal with the blessedness. Tonight, the blessedness of the Holy Spirit. And then hopefully, if we get that far, next Sunday morning, the blessedness of sonship. And so, you know, I don't really want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to kind of let you know what we're going to be looking at. The book of Romans, the section that we're in right now, talks about the effects of salvation, okay? And so tonight we're going to look at what we have with the Holy Spirit and then what it means next Sunday morning, what it means now to be one of His children, to be one of His sons. But today, back here in 2 Peter chapter 2, I just want to pick up, let's look at verse 12. Let's just pick up in verse 12. It says, "But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage." Heavenly Father, again, we ask for your help. Help me, Lord, to preach it and help us all to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at some of these characteristics here of these false prophets, and this would also apply, some of these things would apply to anyone who is not lost, or maybe even someone who is saved but has voluntarily put themselves back under bondage to something. And maybe you didn't wake up one morning and say, "I want to be back into bondage to that," but over time, you've allowed it to take place. We've seen that they, we didn't read it this morning, but in verses 10 and 11, that they despise authority. They despise authority. "You're not going to tell me what to do." Listen, let's relate some of this to ourselves. Sometimes Christians will come into a fundamental church that's preaching the Word of God, and they will pick and choose what they want to believe. "I like that. Don't like that right there. I like knowing what God wants to do for me. I like knowing how He's going to bless me. I like knowing what God is going to bring forth in my life. I like answered prayers. Love my wife as Christ loved the church. You don't know who I'm married to. Submit to my husband. You've never met the guy. Be filled with the Spirit. Hey, I read enough. I read it. What are you? You two aren't even married. What are you laughing about? Is it that bad? Has it gotten that bad? Oh, I know. They're laughing at all you women that are married. I like this part. I like that part. I like this over here. You see, here's the thing. Christians sometimes come in. You say, what does this have to do with authority? We'll get there. Sometimes Christians come into a Bible-believing church, a fundamental church where the gospel is being preached and the word is being preached and expounded upon, and treat God's word at home, reading the Bible, whatever it is. Treat God's word like a buffet. Give me some of that. Give me some. Oh, I like that mercy. I like grace. Oh, I like that He died for my sins. Love Him with all of my heart and all of my... give him more of my time. Tell others about Him. Oh, you know, I like it better when it's just the two of us. I like it better when it's me and Jesus. I like that a lot better. Sharing with other people. I don't like people. People are mean. People are rude. People are this. I don't want any of that. Sacrifice this for my family. This God tells me what to do over here and how to deal with people. Listen, God's not going to force you to take everything that He has for you. He's not going to force feed you. He's not going to spoon feed you. You will take what you want. But the mark of a spiritual Christian is someone who says, I'll take it all, Lord. I'll take it all. What I like, what I have a problem with. What's easy, what's not. I'll take it all. I said something to you, I think, last week or the week before about the strength and conditioning class that I was in high school where we had to lift weights. You know, some of them weren't that hard. There were some that if you gave me a choice, I might spend all class on that one. Then there were others, I didn't even want to get near them. We had one called we just called it clean, but it's usually called clean and jerk. And you have weights, and you have to pick them up off the ground. You stand up, and you get them to right here, and then you pull them up to here. And then there's the clean, jerk, and lift where you get them up to here, and then you push them up over your heads. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Hated it because it was hard. Hated it because... I lifted the lowest amount of weight in the whole class. It was embarrassing. I was one of the youngest, skinniest kids in there. Hated it. Just hated that one. Some of the other ones didn't mind. Hated that one right there. But you know what? When it was on my chart, when that's what I was supposed to do for that day, go do it. And keep working and lifting more and more and more. God isn't going to spoon feed us. He's not going to force feed us. But if you want to be what God wants you to be, you'll get everything that God has for you in His Word. The stuff that's easy, the stuff we like, and the stuff that takes some work, the stuff that's hard. And we'll say, you know what? My flesh hates that, but my soul, my spirit loves it because they're born of God and they're going to tell the flesh what to do. I'm not going to let the flesh tell my soul and my spirit what to do. Okay, what's that have to do with authority? Well, come on, Christians, who is our authority? Who is the greatest authority? Almighty God, who created us and saved us and gave us His word and said, look, here's how much I love you. Here's what I did for you. This is what I want you to do for me. And too often people approach God's word with the same attitude that some lost people have and these false prophets have, and that is, I'll let God be in charge of certain areas of my life, but in other areas, I'll do what I want. I'll call the shots. I'll do things the way that I think they ought to be done. I like it when the Lord helps me here, this over here. No, I know what's best. It says that they despise authority. In verses 12 and 13, we see that they think they have all the answers. They think that they have all the answers, and in such they prove their ignorance. Verse 12 tells us that it says, but these as natural brute beasts, they're no better than a wild animal, made to be taken and destroyed. A wild animal made to be taken and destroyed. They're no different. It goes on to tell us in verse 14 that they cannot cease from sin. If they would get saved, the Bible isn't saying they can't be saved, but as long as they stay the way they are, they're not going to stop. Even if they clean up this area of their life, they're just going to find another area to defile themselves. They just cannot stop. Look how it says, beguiling unstable souls. We talked about that, about how it is very easy for a weak person, especially a weak Christian, if you're listening to these false prophets, they prey on weaker people. Okay? Listen, in the same way that lifting weights, building up your body, can help you to be in proper shape to defend yourself against an attack, in the same way that arming yourself with some type of weapon to protect yourself in case of an attack, in the same way that that strengthens you and helps you against something that might harm you, being, and even more important, because the spiritual is more important, the eternal is more important than the temporal, being in God's Word, reading it, studying it, applying it, being changed by it, holding to it, living by it, will strengthen you, and you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You'll be able to stand against these attacks. And you will not, you don't let your guard down, but you will not have to worry as much about these false prophets and their false teachings, because you will recognize the voice of God when you hear it, and you will recognize the voice of the enemy whenever you hear it. Jesus said in the book of John, my sheep, what? And they what? Know me. They hear my voice and they know me. Let me ask you, do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you know when you hear something? Yeah, that lines up with Scripture. Or when you hear something, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not in Scripture. You say, well, I don't know every word in the Bible. You don't have to know if something is of God or not. You don't have to memorize every word, but you need to read every word. You need to be acquainted with every word so that when you hear something, you'll know that's not biblical. That's not spiritual. That's not God. That's man. That's the devil. I don't want to be an unstable soul that can be beguiled. Do you? No, I'd rather be someone that. Come on. When you were in school, remember the Life cereal commercials? Remember the there's only one. There might be many McDonald's commercials you remember, and many, but there's only one Life cereal commercial that anybody remembers. I don't even know when I saw a Life cereal commercial last. Everybody knows who? Mikey. And what would Mikey do? Mikey will like it. He likes it. Give it to Mikey. He likes it. Give it to Mikey. Give it to Mikey. Why'd they give it to Mikey? Mikey would eat anything. Give it to him. Just let Mikey have it. Listen, you know when you were in school, there was that one kid. If you couldn't get anybody else to do something stupid, there was that one kid. There was that one kid. And the whole class. Let's get him to jump off the top of the slide. Nobody else would jump off the top of the slide. Nobody else was dumb enough. You know what? Henry was dumb enough. Tell Henry to jump off the slide. There was that one kid. There was that one kid. What? Gullible, unstable. Do whatever you told him to do. Do whatever you put him up to. Other people would say, no, that'll hurt. No, I'll get in trouble if I do that. But it's easy to pick out the unstable souls. I don't want to be an unstable Christian. I want to be one who will recognize the voice of the shepherd. But you can't recognize the voice of the shepherd if you don't ever listen to him. And we listen to him by being in the Word. We listen to him by being under the preaching of the Word. And we get familiar. We get familiar with what the Lord's voice sounds like. We're not talking about an audible voice we hear. We're talking about His Word right here. This is how He talks to us. We know what lines up and we know what doesn't. You won't know His voice if you're not acquainted with it. And if you don't, you'll be like that weak lamb. You know, animals prey upon three types of animals. And by the way, I heard somebody say this not too long ago, and I really liked it, really appreciated it. This push nowadays to treat animals like people and they've got rights and all this stuff. Have you noticed this? Think about this. If that's the thing, they're just like people and they're just like, hey, an animal who's hunting will target one of three other types of animals: the young, the old, and the infirmed. You got a herd of gazelles out here or something, and you got a lion sneaking in. He's looking for the youngest one because they're not very knowledgeable and they're not very fast, or an old one because they're not very fast, or one that's injured because they're not very fast. Easy prey. You say, what's that have to do with, here's just one more reason that we know animals are not the same as people. They prey on the same three categories that humans protect. Who do we seek to protect? The young, the elderly, and the infirmed. We give them more attention. We give them more help because they need more help. And then people say, well, animals have rights, they're just like people. Really? I don't want you to look after me with animal mentality because you'll destroy my kids, you'll destroy me when I get old, and me if I get hurt, because that's what animals do. I would rather not be a weak, unstable victim. But the only way around that is to be strong and to be in His Word and to be taught by Him and to be growing, so that when the attack comes, look, what did Peter say? He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I need to keep my eyes open. I need to be ready to run. I need to be ready to stand. I need to be ready to fight. I don't want to be an unstable soul. It talks about how in verses 15 and 16, and we talked about this last week, Balaam, hey, they're for hire. They'll go and claim that they're doing God's work because there's money in it. They'll go and do the and tell people what they want to hear. They'll tell people their own philosophies. They'll appeal to people instead of God. Why? There's money to be made. And then we saw that they're pure emptiness. They're wells without water. They're clouds that are just blown across the sky. We come this morning to verse 18. And it says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Great swelling words of vanity. Their words are empty. what has been the televangelist ploy for years. Sow a seed into this ministry. That's what they call it. Send me this, send me this, send me this. You know how when they call to try to get you to give money to like the state police and Toys for Tots and things like that, they have levels? I've seen, you know, you can give this much, or you can give this much, or you can give, or maybe you go to a program, you go to hear the orchestra or something, and it'll have people, donors who give, and it'll say, you know, silver level, gold level, you know, as you give more. I'd be like cardboard, you know. I'd be like paper mache level is what I would be. And they've got all these names of people that have, you know, you've got levels that you can give. Oh, you can give this much or this much. I've seen these televangelists, multiple televangelists do this. You sow a seed of $20, we'll give you this. Or you can sow a seed of $100, we'll give you this. Or if you want to sow this, you know, the profit level, they do. I've seen this garbage. They'll have levels. You can be in the basement, you can be in the congregation, or you can be upper level, upper room. Great swelling words of vanity. What do they have to offer? Zero. And how do they get it? How do they take advantage of people? Well, look what it says. It says, they allure through the lust of the flesh, because they know there are people out there who live by the lust of the flesh. Tell them, tell that sick person that God's going to heal them. You're never going to have to see the guy again. And if he writes to you and complains, you just burn the letter. Tell your secretary, I don't want to read those. What's it matter? As long as you got his money, tell him God's going to heal you. Tell them, those people that have financial problems, God's going to fix them all. God wants to make you rich. Why do they do it? They know that's what people are after. God will do this for you. He'll give you that. And they promise all these things that God does not promise in His Word. And so it says here, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. You ever heard somebody, this as your pastor, I should be cautious in asking you this question. You ever heard somebody say a lot of words, but not really, talk a lot, but not really say much? I know you're thinking, about three Sundays ago, okay, but you know what I'm saying. Some people just talking. What'd they say? They didn't say anything. These are great swelling words of vanity. Some people can talk for 2 and 3 hours and never say a thing. Never say anything. It says they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. They're tapping into people's desires. Those who are clean escape from them who live in error. So there are people who have heard the truth and have come toward the truth, and maybe they're babes and they're unstable, and then they hear this and they go right back into bondage. Did you ever stop to question why people listen to some of the people that they listen to? I mean, did you ever just see some of the people that they have on the news? You know, you got a president, a governor, a mayor, somebody does something that people are upset about, and they go get some Hollywood actor to tell us what he thinks about it. And people say, well, you know, I don't know who any of the big actors are nowadays, but you know, so-and-so, did you hear what he said? I don't really care. He gets paid to play pretend. How is he qualified to speak on such matters? But people will. People are allured. Why? I like what that guy says. I want to hear what that guy says. It's amazing the people that others will listen to and be allured by. By the way, I was giving this some thought. Do you ever notice the people that some Christians will listen to? Come on, we said this a minute ago. Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves again. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have this. What do I need to do? You need to stop eating this. You need to start eating this. You need to exercise in this way. You need to do this type of exercises this many times a day. You need to, and they give you this list, and you say, that's what that'll help. Yes, that will help you get over this. That will help you to feel better. And you do it, don't you? You know why? Because no man hateth his own flesh. He says, well, I want to get healthy. I want to feel better. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. And so you're sitting down eating with somebody and they say, what is that? Why are you eating beets? Why are you eating okra? Why are you eating that? Why are you eating so much of it? I don't like it, but the doctor said this will, you know, clear this out of my system, or this, or this is what he told me to do. Why are you putting that in that drink and mixing up those shakes they drink? Why are you doing that? Well, it's nasty, but the doctor said if I'll do this for 4 weeks, it'll help to, you know, clear something up. If you had a financial advisor, and they said, now listen, here's the budget you need to follow if you want to meet this goal. You'd say, okay, and you start cutting things back. If you were at work and there was a promotion that you were up for and you found out what you had to do to get that promotion, you'd do it, wouldn't you? If you were trying to learn how to do something and the teacher said you need to do it this way, you'd say, okay. So why do people come into churches sometimes or into conversations with Christian friends and hear from the preaching or from another brother or sister in a conversation, what thus saith the Lord? This is what God says we need to do in this situation. And then, well, I think you're reading that wrong. Really, if your doctor said it, if your said it, if your teacher said it, if your financial advisor said it, you'd believe it and do it. Why is it that God's word is up for discussion? Man's word's up for discussion. He's not perfect. He doesn't know everything. God's word is not up for debate. And when God says, this is what you need to do, this is what I want you to do, this is how you get this done, well, I don't think you're right on that. I think you've got that one twisted. That's your interpretation of it. But then we'll find someone else, maybe even someone in the congregation or a family member or somebody at work. And if you want to find them, you can find them. People who will tell you what you want to hear, what you like to hear. And you'll ignore the truth and you'll listen to them rather than subjecting yourself to the authority of the Scripture. Why? Well, sadly, it's the same reason that the lost people do it. It's because of the flesh. It's because you have at some point cared more about what the flesh wants and pleasing the flesh than what God wants and pleasing God. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And now we come to verse 19 and begin to wrap this up. This is really where we've been headed. We have read the list of sinful practices and sinful attitudes and characteristics of these people. Here specifically, the false prophets. But we know that these things apply in other places too. They apply to a lot of lost people. Carnal Christians sometimes might have some of this stuff in their life. But here's what we've been headed toward. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Listen, if you were walking down a sidewalk in Terre Haute, and a man living in a house called you over and wanted to give you advice, had some type of business deal, hey man, I want to let you in on something. If he called you over and said, wanted to talk to you about You know, ladies, maybe he wanted to talk to you about how to decorate your home. He's living in a box. You'd say, you don't know anything about business or you wouldn't be living in a box. You have no interior to decorate. Why would I take your advice on this? But these false prophets and lost people are all the time saying that we as Christians are not free to do whatever we want to do. What they boast of is, hey, I can do whatever I want. I'm free. What was the big push? One of the big things going on in the 60s when the hippie movement was on. I'm not trying to be vulgar this morning. But there was a term, free love. You know, no matter how you try to dress it up, it's still fornication. God's been calling it fornication all these years. Ooh, we got to clean it up. Free love. Basically, just be as filthy as you want with whoever you want in any time you want. That did wonders for our country, didn't it? That did wonders for our country. Brought about two or three new diseases we'd never heard of, and brought about thousands and thousands of illegitimate children with nobody to raise them, and seven or eight divorces, and that's just done wonders for us. But this is the mentality of someone who is in bondage to sin. They don't think they're in bondage. They think that they're free to do whatever they want, but they're addicted. They're slaves. They're in chains. And they would look at us and think, oh, you and all those restrictions. You got all those rules. You Christians have to follow all those rules. Your God restricts you so much, you can't do what you want. Let's address a few things here. For one, I can do whatever my spirit wants to do because it's been born of God and wants to do the right thing. And I can do whatever my flesh wants to do, but I won't be right with God if I do that. And if I do what my flesh wants to do, it hurts me. I get in trouble. It ruins things. Well, you've got all those rules. You've got all those restrictions. When did rules and restrictions become a bad thing? Okay? If you were in the dental chair, all right? You were in the dental chair, and you expect a dentist to use certain tools and do things a certain way because those are the rules. That's how you have to do dentistry. And you're in the dental chair. And he comes, and he says, open up. And he gets in it. Poking and prying, and he's got one of those Rule King lights, you know, but it's on the flash. Oh, hold on. There we go. You'd say, follow the rules, man. Follow the rules. Is this going to hurt? And he gives you a stick. No, he can't give you a stick. He's working in your mouth. He gives you one of those. Well, just squeeze on that if it hurts. It'll be all right. Wouldn't you like for him to follow protocol? Wouldn't you like for him to follow the rules? Wouldn't you like for there to be some... Aren't you glad there's a law that says if he tries to work on you like that, you could have him put out of business so he doesn't go around killing people that way? No, you got all those rules. You got all those restrictions. But what does the believer know? The believer knows that when someone loves you and they give you rules and they give you guidelines, it's for your own good. My children were never allowed. No, I didn't have to sit down and tell them this specifically. But they knew that they were not allowed to climb up on the roof and jump off. That was never a part of a conversation. By the way, kids, don't be jumping off the roof. No, we never had to have that conversation. My brothers, maybe somebody should have had that conversation with them, but we never had to have that. Oh, why can't we jump off the roof? Why can't we jump? Why can't you jump off the roof? You will get hurt. That rule is in place to help you. But see, these people think that true liberty is the absence of rules and requirements and standards. But it isn't. That's anarchy. And that brings about bondage. Let me read something to you. Let me read a definition of liberty. Freedom from restraint, in a general sense, and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The will or mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. A man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or volitions. The problem is, people look at that and they think, well, then liberty must be no rules, no anything. But if you have that, then you're brought into the rules and bondage of sin. Does that make sense? You have to have some type of rule to adhere to, or you will be brought into bondage and no longer have liberty. Let me say this real quick, and we're going to look at a few verses and be done. People like to point to the commandments. You Christians, you got all those thou shalt nots. All right. Let's look at them. We won't look at all of them. Let's look at a few of them. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah, see, you can't just... Well, I really like that Amy has no other husband but me. And she really likes that I have no other wife but her. Why? Because we belong to one another. So God created us. He's in charge. He makes the rules. Why should we put anybody else before Him? That's a good thing not to do that. Men, it's a good thing. It is a good thing not to put any other woman in place of your wife. She appreciates that. Ladies, we appreciate that when you don't put any other man in your life. Well, we like that one, don't we? We like that one. That one makes sense. Well, doesn't it make even more sense when we're talking about our Creator? It's good for us not to put anything else before God. What else did he tell us not to do? He tells us, let's just look at the Ten Commandments. We won't look at the 300 and some, but let's just look at the ten. What we call the moral law. Don't take something. Don't steal. Don't take something that's not yours. That's only a problem if all you want to do is take from other people. How does that law help you and I? It keeps us out of trouble. If you obey that, you will never have to do time for stealing something. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's only a problem if you just want to be filthy and want to do whatever you want to do. Or you can look at that law and say, you know what that does for me? That gives me a better marriage. That keeps me physically sound. That keeps me mentally sound. That the list could go on and on and on and on and on. I think someone who loves us and cares about us gave us some rules and said, don't do that. I'm not going to force you, but I'm telling you, don't do that. Or it will hurt you in the long run. It will bring about pain. Okay, I can do whatever I want. I'm at liberty. They would claim that we are not because we have some guidelines. They would claim that they are because they do whatever their flesh wants. But what is the truth? The truth is, those who boast of liberty are slaves to sin. I can do what I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody tell me what to do. Well, explain that addiction that you have. Because that addiction tells you what to do. You don't have liberty. Explain how you can't form a single thought on your own without finding out what your guru or what your politician or what your favorite leader says or thinks. That isn't liberty. Explain why social media and Hollywood can so easily sway your thinking and your decisions. That's not liberty. You're enslaved. Why are you not able to stop sinning? Because you are enslaved. Look at Matthew chapter 6. So Peter's telling us that these people are, Matthew 6, 24. Peter's telling us that these people boast of liberty. Oh, you can be free and you can do whatever you want. And they are slaves to sin. It's like listening to or taking advice from a marriage counselor who's never been married. Or who has been married 5 times. I don't think you're qualified, brother. Friend, I don't think you really have much to say on this topic. But here's the thing. They boast of liberty. Oh, we can do whatever we want, but they're the slaves to sin. You know why? Because everybody's going to serve somebody. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know what this tells us? It tells us a couple things. You can't love God and the world, but it also tells us this. Everybody will serve somebody. You'll serve God, you'll serve man, you'll serve your own flesh, you'll serve some other teacher, you'll serve some religion. Everybody ends up serving and being in bondage to something. I would rather be in voluntary slavery. I would rather be a slave to the Lord. I would rather be in bondage to Him because I've chosen to be in bondage to Him, not because I was put in slavery or bondage against my will. The bond slave of the Old Testament was someone who was released by his master, didn't have to stay and be a slave, but chose to stay with his master because he loved his master, or maybe he was married and had children and they belonged to the master as well. They were his slaves, but he wanted to stay. The master said, "You can go." But he said, "No, I want to stay here. You're good to me. You take care of me." They'd run a hole through his ear. And that hole through the ear signified, I chose to be a bond servant, a bond slave. God doesn't make us get saved. We choose to. We choose to be His servants, to be His bond servants. True liberty and freedom are only found in Him. And only through Him can we know what it is to be free. So these false prophets and these lost people, they teach, well, you don't know what liberty is. We can do whatever we want. You can just be free and be at liberty to do whatever. Yeah, you'll be at liberty to be brought back into bondage to sin. Go ahead, drink it. You can do whatever you want. And then a year down the road, you can't do whatever you want because that addiction's telling you what to do. Go ahead, smoke it. And smoke some of that over there and roll that up and smoke some of that and set that on fire and smoke it and breathe this in and go ahead. And a few months later, you can't do whatever you want because that addiction's telling you what to do. You're a slave. Go ahead. She's not going to find out. She'll never meet that other woman. You can do whatever you want, man. You're at liberty. You're free. What's one time? And then you're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 marriages down the road and can't cease from sinning because you're a slave. We only know true liberty and true freedom in Jesus Christ by choosing to be His bond servants. What are we free from? Don't tell me about liberty. He's already made me free from sin and its penalty. I'm already free. Don't tell me about liberty. I've already been freed from guilt and shame. He bore that on the cross. Don't boast of your liberty. I'm free from the control of anyone or anything but Him. He's in charge. Are we His servants? Yes, but we're willingly His servants. Does belonging to Him bring bondage? No, it brings life and freedom and life everlasting. I want to look at just a few quick verses and we'll close. Luke chapter 4. We'll kind of use these verses to close everything out. You know why Amazing Grace is such a wonderful song? Because it reminds the sinner. It reminds the sinner. I used to be blind, and now I'm not. At one point, I was in bondage, and He set me free from it. Because of His grace, He's brought me out of it. But you won't appreciate that if you don't realize that you're in bondage. You won't come to the Lord unless you realize that you need the Lord. Luke chapter 4. And verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember, they think they're at liberty. I can do whatever I want. Nobody tells me what to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Deliverance to the captives, because sin holds you captive. Sin absolutely holds you and I captive. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. So surely somebody has already thought of this verse. Surely at some point in this sermon, someone's thought. This voice has come to mind. John chapter 8 and verse 33, they answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man," as though Egypt never happened. "How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." It's not about not having any rules or regulations. Man is born a sinner and he's in bondage to sin. He's the slave to sin. But he boasts about how free he is. Really. True freedom. True liberty. Only comes from Jesus Christ. Next time someone tries to point out what you can't do because you're one of those Christians with all those rules, hey, just remind them of all the stuff you can't do. You know what? If I live by this, then I can't ever sit up till 3 o'clock in the morning wondering where my wife is, and she can't ever do that about me. I can't ever spend months in the slammer because I took from somebody else or because I took somebody's life, years. You're right. There's a lot of stuff I can't do. You know what else I can't do? I can't ever feel the flames of hell. I can't spend eternity in hell. Hey, you know what I do get to do? I get to spend eternity with Jesus. I get to avoid the flames of hell. I get to have a good family. I get to have a good church, good friends around me, good people. I get to tell other people about what they could get to do. So we have to have a clear understanding of liberty. We have to have a clear understanding of bondage. You're going to serve somebody. Is it going to be sin against your will? Or will you willingly serve the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we're so thankful for your word, and we're thankful for the liberty that you've given us, the freedom that you've given us. Lord, help us not to ever define liberty and freedom the way the world does. Help us to understand that we were in bondage, and if we're saved, we no longer are in bondage. We are now truly free. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would work on every heart in this place. Lord, maybe one of us has allowed ourselves to be brought back into bondage to something. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's a thought pattern. Maybe it's could be anything, Lord. You know. Lord, if any of us here have been brought into some type of bondage, or maybe we don't respond to your authority the way that we should, maybe we're weak. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict our hearts and that we would not leave this place without doing business with you. Lord, that we would know the steps that need to be taken, that we would begin in prayer of repentance to you, that we would repent and admit, Lord, that we've done wrong. Admit that we've been brought into bondage. Admit that we're off track. And that we would seek your face and ask you for help. And that we would be obedient to the steps that you've called us. That you've called us to. You're the only one who can change us. And you change us through your word. Your word says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We just pray that you do that work on us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.